Hey, Ian, how's it going?
All right, how are you?
About the same. Wondering where everyone is. one second. Morning, Jason.
Good morning. How goes?
Pretty good. I don't know. Seemed like the Trove test upgrade went really smoothly yesterday, and I don't know from your perspective if that was the case, but everything looked good.
Yeah, well, I think encouraging.
Let me just see if Kurt is running. Oh, yeah. Of course, I always send that and then like immediately. Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to find the calendar link.
No worries, sorry for harassing you right when you were getting there.
No, you're fine.
All right, I think let's start with Ian. Is there anything else we need to do with this, or can I just move this to done?
Yeah, I think we can close that.
Cool.
Thank you.
Anything else from your side?
No, have you heard anything about these emails? I forgot to look at logs, but I could do that now while we're in this meeting.
I have not heard. I asked them last week to let us know if it kind of resolved itself, but I haven't heard one way or the other. I haven't heard more reports or
Hopefully they're not just reporting it, but
yeah. So I meet with them tonight, and
okay.
I think I will have more tickets and things to talk about later, but some of their stuff that they put on the meeting agenda is not very clear to me what they are trying to get at. So I, until I talk to them, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But they don't have anything about the email notifications
Okay.
on here. All right, Jason, I know you were yesterday, but just wondering what you're thinking. And also, I think I have at least one ticket that I might hope that you could pull in, maybe instead of some of these lower priority ones. But we can get to that in a minute. But what are you thinking generally?
I'm glad that I don't have to keep messing with the tier form over and over again. So that's nice that that's hopefully behind us at this point. Sounds encouraging. For the getting rid of the check for the directory,
This one?
I, oh, maybe. Yeah, that I'm handling by I'm making a new way to access the settings because honestly, there's not that many settings. Actually, there's less, there's like about 100. It's fine. Like, we don't have to fetch each individual setting in a separate HTTP call, we can just get all of them. And to that end, I'm just making a little helper in Stripe's reshare where you can just use it to get a setting. And I'm going to use that to get the setting that we're using to determine which directory to look at. And that will fix that. And that will also clean up just a bit of fiddly boilerplate code that is scattered in UIRS. So that's kind of satisfying. But yeah, if I can finish that up today, that would be ideal if the other thing isn't too high priority.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably finishing this is a good idea since you're already kind of in it. I think that I do have some other like things that they're asking about, but I don't know that they're higher. Like, yeah. Anyway, I think you should finish the one you're working on. I think that they have other things they would like done, but whether it's a higher priority or not, I think is debatable. So, speaking of, one is this misspelling in the copyright code,
The
which
misspelling in
is
the copyright code is part of the ISO standard.
what's that? Sorry.
There is a misspelling in the copyright code that's part of the ISO standard. I'm not sure if it's that one, but one of them is part of the standard.
Yeah, it's wrong in the 2017 and 2021 version. Like, I don't know how they didn't fix it even for the second version.
It just goes to show you
Yeah.
how many people actually use this, or at least look at it closely when they implement.
Yeah. They also had a few other questions about the copyrights, which I think we've been over some of these previously. But one of their
Oh, wait, wait, wait,
questions,
wait. Also, it's not a matter of just change it in the translation file. That's not, I don't think, accurate unless maybe we've got this one going. To a large degree, the translation is part of the vocabulary that's stored in the database for most of these kinds of things, the way we've unfortunately been doing it in ReShare. And so that would potentially mean a bit of refactoring of wherever we are using it to instead use the translation file for the UI rather than the label provided by the backend.
that sounds fun.
It's fine. It's just a matter of it's like, oh, if you happen to expect me to be able to do this in 5 minutes, I can't actually, probably, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're already using the translation file in the UI for this, and it's just a matter of changing that three characters, then yeah, that'll take 2 seconds. But like, I'm just saying, by the way, that might not be the case for this
Right.
and any other issue where the translation of a ref data vocabulary is involved. For at least one of
Yeah.
them, we did that. We did actually, I did that, I think, for the service levels. Because we
Yeah.
wanted to do that, oh, we'll make a different translation in ENGP thingy. And that's the way I implemented it. But in order to do that, I had to switch it to using the translation from the vocabulary, which also meant taking each one of those things and then formatting it so it fits into the translation file anyways. Not saying we shouldn't do it, I'm just saying it might
Yeah,
not be.
yeah. Well, while we're on this, can I ask you there are like three other questions about copyright codes?
Yeah, sure, may as well.
So the typo is one. There's a code that they want to add, which must not be part of the ISO protocol if we don't already have it.
Yep, that is
And
true.
is that possible to
I
add
mean, anything is
one?
possible, but I don't think we set this up. I don't think we set this up in such a way to make that conveniently possible. But it's in their database. So we could have some you can run an HTTP call to like add an extra thing to that vocabulary. I don't want to add it to all tenants for all reshare deployments.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Ian, is that a totally unreasonable thing? Do we already have a bunch of HTTP calls that happen on the upon tenant setup?
There's not a bunch of HTTP calls that happen when you create a tenant, no? Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, so there is this vocabulary for copyright codes, but there could be vocabularies for whatever. And like many of them, it is not currently set up to be editable in the settings
Sure.
in any way. And they would like to add a special non-standard copyright code just for their tenants. And you could do that by just making a post to the ref data endpoint.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be fine.
But I'm also not sure we want to do that because that code won't work with Alma. There's no way for them to add that to Alma, I assume. And that's
What's
also.
well, this sounds like a config, right? Not a thing that would go in the code. Or you can't, it's what you're saying, Jason, is that you can't I couldn't, as of right now, I couldn't set this in config until someone does something. It's not editable.
Right, so there's no user interface for it. It is stored in the database on a per tenant basis, so they could have a custom one. The problem is that the value of copyright code is governed by ISO 18226, the standard. And so, okay, great, they have a custom one. Reshare will send their custom one happily, and they can set that wherever. They just It won't mean anything to Alma. It will get it and it'll be like, wow, this isn't the standard. And it might not accept that.
Well, yeah, and Alma doesn't, they don't even support a single Australian copyright code right now. So they're all going to be broken for Alma for the foreseeable future. I don't know when they're going to prioritize adding support for them. So this, yeah.
And so in the standard, it says that these sort of supposed open codes, where you can hypothetically add things like this, you're still supposed to make a distinction when you're using a custom one. And Reshare does not currently support making that distinction in its messages. Have you tried just telling them to get the standards people to add it to the standard?
I mean, we could try that method.
It's like, how much of a hurry are you in for this code to be there? And can it work without it in the meantime?
Well, and maybe they should be the ones who contact them about the misspelling
Yeah.
in the damn code, you know?
And while you're at it.
Oh, I like Copyright Cat.
Yeah. Australian Copyright Office should just roll with it and make a mascot for themselves.
And then our favorite question is they want to remove the US and UK types. And I'm pretty sure I've told them multiple times no. And in fact, in the US tenants, they all have the Australian, like it's a full list, even though we only use two codes in the US. So I guess my question there is, can it be sorted in such a way that all the Australian codes are at the top or something? Like, is there anything that might make it like better for them without removing the US and UK types? Do you have any thoughts about that, or is that just like, please just use the drop down menu and quit complaining? But
Well, it's just these vocabulary things are just annoying. So we could just have another setting, like for everything.
Well, yeah, I guess like we probably
And so
set
the
ourselves
other
a
setting
world.
could be to have like a list of the copyright codes that are in the fixed standard that you can't change because it's a standard, a list of them that you actually want to have displayed in the UI. And that could just be yet another setting.
So it would be just like the
Service levels or something? I don't know.
yeah, the one there we said like which service levels to show because we're not showing all of the
Yeah. Yeah, so we could do
yeah.
that again.
You know, I
Or
will
we could, instead
say
of having a list of them, we could be copyright code label must contain characters, and then we can search the labels for that. If that's
Yeah,
better.
I just want to
Because
know
then.
like how important this is to them. Like, is this more important than like making, yeah, this might not be something that is like an immediate like scenario, but I think that the if we did do like a service levels to display, if we did a copyright codes to display, like that would be useful in the US as well. So at least it wouldn't be like totally pointless, but I mean, none of it is pointless, but you know what I mean? It would be like useful across the
Yeah.
board, is all I mean.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be just like, oh, well, Trove is stacking on yet another thing onto the scope of their
Yeah,
already.
that's what I didn't mean it. Yeah, like that sounded bad, so I just wanted to, you know, okay, well, let me. I'm going to talk to them about all this tonight, and I will see if they can or will report this typo to the protocol standard people, and also see if about adding the S43 code or whatever, and try to get a sense of like how critical it is for the removing of the US UK types. Like, I think that's probably a nice to have that they just want to keep asking about, but. We'll see.
And yeah, I guess, and like, as opposed to switching things over to being a translation, the typo can be fixed the same way the new code can be added by making that update via a call to the ref data endpoint to update that vocabulary on a per tenant basis. And so maybe the real answer is just write a script to make ref data changes per tenant and make it easy to just. So that we can just set things for a consortium. I don't know.
Okay, well, is that work an Ian task, or is that still something that you would do, Jason?
I think that would be an either of us task. We could
Okay.
either have to write that script, but since it would be Ian that would be using the script, he might have preferences on how it's implemented or the general API
Well,
of
yeah,
it.
you
But
guys could talk about that, I guess, if you were the one to do it, but you could discuss an
yeah,
approach or
exactly.
something.
Yeah,
Okay. All
yeah. So.
right, cool. I'm gonna check in with them tonight, and also I need more information than S43 edition. Like, I don't know how they want that to display or anything like that. So, a thing that I was wondering if you might be able to work on after the one that you currently have in progress is the adding conditions to the Trove pull slip. This is basically that Deborah needs help with the query for pulling this in, and then she will be able to add it to the JasperSoft, or via JasperSoft add it to the pull slip template. But the reason I want to kind of prioritize this is just that she's going to be out for like 3 weeks coming up, sometime later this month, and then she's retiring at the end of September. So I was like, oh, it'd be good if we could tackle this before. And also Trevor keeps asking about it. So I don't know if this is one that you might be able to help her with the query on. But yeah, so basically, can I assign this to you is my question.
I mean, I'd rather you didn't, but yeah, I'll do it. So, as per usual, I just gives me anxiety. Everything just I have concerns about all of it. So my concerns here are that both steps are already kind of long, isn't it? Like there can be multiple conditions. Also, there can be multiple conditions. So I'm not entirely sure. And so either I will have to install Jasper and reacquaint myself with that confusing mess, or work extensively with Deborah, because how does it handle, like, I don't know if we have an example where we're giving it multiple of something for a request.
Yeah, that's a good question because what do they currently have on here? I mean, this is already huge. Look at the space that we have for long conditions.
Yeah. So
What, Ian?
just like, yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
I was hoping you were volunteering to handle this somehow.
I don't know if I understand what needs to be handled. So she needs help with a query. Is that like a database query or a API
So the
query?
poll slips are generated directly from the ModRS database by
Okay.
this external software that
Sure.
has no idea about any of the APIs or whatever. It's just hitting the database. It's just passed to handle the database.
Okay.
And it has a absolutely giant query that joins off into the directory information, into everything else that it has a foreign key onto the request.
Sure.
And we now need to add the loan conditions to it, which is a totally reasonable thing. I think that will probably be useful for other pull slips where people would reasonably want to have, like, for library use only or whatever condition on the pull slip. That it's kind of surprising this is the first time we've had this request. But yeah. So anyway, so I don't I think this will might be extra fiddly because I don't know if we've ever had a situation where we needed to do multiple things on the
Is
request.
there like a way to run the Jasper stuff like standalone just to see like what it's generating when you point at a database or whatever?
Yes. Want me
Is
to
it
show
just
you?
like a Postgres query? Because if it's just a Postgres query, I can do it. No, but if it's more than that, I don't really know what's going on there.
So it is a Postgres query. I last time I did this, I just it has some funkiness in there where it's got like a kind of a templating thingy where it's putting in the specific table that it's hitting and schema and something else. I can't remember. But yeah, after sufficient search and replace to get the tenant specific stuff in there, it does leave you with a giant query that you can just run on Postgres.
I think you're right though, Jason, like that there's gonna be like this is only two, but like they were doing testing, you know, with like a ton of like a ton of like this list could get like really long.
I mean, realistically, they probably won't have more than one or two conditions on most requests most of the time, I would imagine. The thing is, though, I just don't know, because you can have more than one and you would want that to be displayed, I just don't know how that works in Jasper. And so, and probably neither does Deborah. So even if I can get it into the query, I'm just not necessarily sure how it needs to be worked into the query in order to be consumable by Jasper, since it's a situation where there are multiple values. I don't really, this could get interesting. We'll see where it goes.
yeah. Well, I guess start with baby steps, see if we can get anything, and then figure out what happens if there's more than one
Well, no,
condition.
we
But
I mean, it might be a completely different approach is the thing, if there's more than one.
yeah.
And so the first step is to try to understand how it would even possibly work with more than one. Like, how does Jasper do that? And that's a bit of a research project ultimately.
Yay. Okay. Well, this one's gonna be fun. I'm a little bit in a holding pattern. Like, that is kind of what I would hope that we could work on, like, in the near future, but I have a feeling that as they start playing with all of the cost stuff that we just deployed yesterday, that we're going to get more pressing things that need to be fixed for the actual go live. I don't necessarily want to you to get too far into a rabbit hole with that if they're going to need something fixed with like the cost negotiation or something, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll just poke away at it, and if I happen to solve it before they come up with something more pressing, then yay, and if not, well.
Yeah, I like that approach. Yeah, thank you. And I know it's all a pain. And also, Deborah is working on a Jasper soft like document for like installing and making sure it's backwards compatible with like some previous version and stuff. And so, she's gonna give me some like training on Tuesday about that. So, soon I will be at least familiar with Jaspersoft and can help, which will be good since she's leaving us soon. It makes me sad. Okay. Anything else, Jason, that you want to talk about before we move on?
No, that's all.
Kurt, how are things going with request aging?
Well, I don't have much to report on that yet because I had to loop back to the ZFL stuff because even though it was working on SLMP1, it wasn't working on SLMP3. So no one has any idea why yet, so I've just gonna have to add logging and make sure that we're actually seeing the stuff happen on SLMP to ensure that the code is actually getting there. And hopefully we can get this wrapped up soon and I can get back to the other stuff. But it's kind of been a little bit of an annoyance while we try to figure this out. So
Okay. It's this one, right?
yes.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, so
unfortunate.
I
I'm sorry
should.
to hear
Yeah, well,
that.
I have a new push for that I've gotten done this morning. I'm just getting it through the deploy stuff. So we're going to test it on SLMP1 and then move it to SLMP3 and then see if we see the same thing. But I do hope to get back to the request aging today and make some progress on that. Hopefully, I'll be able to coerce the DB to give me a past stated request that I can actually see the aging stuff happen on in the integration tests. So
Cool. Sort of related to this, and I don't know who this is really a question for, but right now when we have like a pull slip notification that we set up like when it gets sent on a regular schedule. They are wondering about if there's any way to notify them that they've received a rush or an express request. Because those are supposed to be actioned within 2 hours, or else they are supposed to age out and be out of their tenant. And so if they're only getting pull slip notification once a day, like they're probably gonna miss these express requests. My initial thought is like, well, we can just set up the pull slip emails to be sent hourly or something like that if they are really concerned about it. But that's a lot of like configuration and like setting stuff. But like I don't know if there's any other way to do it currently. I don't think there is. So I get why they want it, but I'm just curious if you have any thoughts beyond just setting up the pull slip triggers to send more often, which is a fine solution.
There's a way better way to do it, but I don't know if we want to entertain it.
Care to elaborate, I guess.
I don't know if I should even. So browsers actually support notifications. Like you can, and you may have run into this for like, I mean, Slack, for example, can send you notifications even if you don't have that tab open. And so you could have it when you go to reshare, that'll do that pop-up. This site wants to send you notifications. Do you accept that?
Do we have
And
any Stripes thing that do that though? That would be like a totally new.
it's totally outside of Stripes.
Right.
And so there's no easy way to get that into the bundle. And it's also, so that's, I think it would be a service worker is what it's called. And I also don't think it would work with Okapi because you'd probably want that using WebSocket so that it could just listen and receive the notifications. But that would be the proper way to do this. And it'd be really slick.
That would be nice, but I don't feel like we have the cycles to get something like that implemented right now.
But yeah, so anyway, it probably is just send us notifications more often, but
I guess then I should probably make sure that those are working properly, generally. But that's just gonna be annoying for them because then they're still gonna have to look through every like is it won't be like this is a oh well that's another thing they actually want is for the pull slip notifications to include the service level. But like right now pull slip notifications are sent in batch, so they sorry I'm trying to remember what this is. Like this is like you have number of requests, go get them here. And they wanted it to say like you have a they want basically the same exact thing as there is for this, like you have a new ILL request. Like they want it to be this is for the requesting library, which is kind of redundant. If you place the request, presumably you know that you did. But I guess this is different for Trove since like they are the ones actually submitting the request and not like their patrons. Anyway, they would prefer to have like a single like per request, per ILL supply request notification and for it to include the service level on it. Which we just don't have right now. Like there is no like if we add a new template, there isn't where is that list at? Yeah. That's not the
Yeah,
right
so
thing
yet
anyway.
another aspect of the system they want to just retool the way it works.
Right. Yeah, I know. So I don't know. I've just been trying to think like what can we do for this, but like it's still not going to be perfect for them, and it's definitely not going to be perfect by August 1st. So
Well, it's like, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know how. I would think on some level it kind of makes sense to be like, well, I wasn't in the scope of the project. On the other hand, though, the service levels overall were, and this is a reasonable enough thing for supporting those.
Yeah, but I also think if your library is committed to doing express requesting and supplying, that you should just be kind of like logged into the tenant like all times. But because not every library supports express lending and borrowing. But yeah. I don't know, maybe I gotta take this up with Seb and see if it's if that was part of the contract, and if not, maybe we can, maybe this is an opportunity where we actually could get them to pay for doing like allow reshare to send you notifications in the browser or something. Or
The problem is, though, is that Stripe and Okapi don't allow that. So it would be somewhat outside of the software. But I would find it interesting to work around that anyway. But I don't know if my amusement is really factoring in here.
okay. Well, let's table that one for now. We'll that's a future us problem, I think.
And also, especially because it does offer the whole situation of like, okay, well, the requests to Okapi are kind of mediated by Okapi, or by requests to ModRS are mediated by Okapi anyway. So how can we do this WebSocket that they will then in future be mediated by Kong because Eureka thingy is happening, and so we probably really wouldn't want to figure out how to do this until we contend with that issue first.
Well, all right. To be continued, I think. No sense thinking too much about it now, I guess. But thank you for sharing your idea anyway, because it is kind of it'd be cool. But all right, back to anything else, Kurt? Anything else? I know that like I know that 118 is probably going to be like. Take a minute anyway, but do you have anything else you want to talk about? Guess not. Ian, did you have any luck looking at the emails? And no problem if not. I just you said you might look at it while we were in the meeting.
I didn't see anything in the log that was available, but that's only 10 megabytes of log, so it's probably past there. But let me take a look at CloudFront in a sec. Or
Yeah, no
CloudWatch.
worries.
Cloud something.
Cloud
thingy.
Yeah.
and okay. I'm just trying to see. I'm looking at their. Oh yeah, I thought you might find this one like a little interesting. They want us to hide the administrator, the Caval administrator, the Trove administrator, and like our administrator user accounts from the users view, which I just imagine is not. I really want to know what the use case is there for the for that question. So, until then, I think that's all I have today. But does anybody else want to? Is there anything else we need to discuss while we're together?
And just on that though, that we're just using the user's thingy from Folio. And so if it supports hidden users or whatever, then I guess we could do that for them. But if it doesn't, a little, it would be kind of a big ask to start our own fork of the user's app and maintain that separately.
Yeah, I don't know. That one really feels like definitely like I'm surprised it's coming up while we're trying to get R4 out, you know, but well, I'll find out why they are bringing it up and then we can circle back. But yeah.
Like a lot of like nice to have stuff that isn't
Yeah.
something that they kind of spec'd out as part of the initial thing. We have to try to nudge them into like, well, if you want us to do that, that's its own project. Because that worked for Minitech. Somehow we were able to negotiate with that with them, that they came up with additional funding to have like a
Yeah.
mini follow-up project. I can't remember if you were here by that time, but it was right about when you joined, I think.
Yeah. I was here for like the for their like their grant stuff.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
so
So we'll see if they can
it's about
muster
negotiate
it up.
that with Trove, yeah, where it's like
Yeah.
that this is out of the scope of you wanted the bare bones minimal thing, and we figured out how to do that for you, and now you're
Yeah.
adding
Yeah,
all
I
this
think
stuff.
that's exactly. It's like I'd like to get us into like a stable, like all of the ISO partners set up and all of the people who are doing pay for peer set up and like using the system, and then we can talk about like some of these fine tunings. But yeah. And if they want to fund certain things. But okay. Anything else? While we're here. All right. I will talk to you all soon. Thank you so much for all of your efforts, and let me know if you need anything.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye, Brian. Thanks.